Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. Today we're joined by Michelle and her husband Matt, and Michelle's going to share her MCAS story with us. Thank you for joining us today, both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
So could you tell us, Michelle, what were your symptoms prior to having a diagnosis, and how long ago was it when you first started to have problems?
I would say that symptoms became very significant when I was about 27 years old. As we speak today, my birthday was yesterday, I am 45. So my diagnosis, you know, that didn't come until 2018. We're sitting in 2024. That came after, you know, a GI endoscopy and biopsy. So, you know, that's how they said, okay, well, there's a huge proliferation of mast cells in the duodenum and also the stomach. And, you know, there's a lot of them, and they're really colonizing together. So before that, it was like, of course, well, maybe something is in your head, or we just, you know, you don't have MS, you do have migraines, do have another underlying condition. We don't know how this plays out. So, you know, there was just a lot of questions and an unbelievable amount of doctor visits with, well, we just don't know. And, you know, I heard a doctor tell my dad, and this is when I was an adult, but it, you know, my dad was with me, and they said, well, she's just not going to get better until she decides to be better.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a lot of trial and tribulation. I really do accredit a lot of the, you know, just getting to the bottom of it, of what it really could be, to a PA in the GI office, just saying, you know, I kept a diary, I kept, you know, my meds, the symptoms, kind of what I had done that day. And we really looked through that. You know, I was not that I was doing everything perfect, because we're human. But we really looked at that. And she said, you know, this patient is doing a lot of things right. I really don't think she's bluffing. You know, what can we do? So, you know, we tried something, ERCP for my pancreas and whatnot, to see, okay, is it there? Is that what making? No. I mean, there was a lot of pressure or air, double what you're supposed to have, but it didn't make my symptoms overall better. So, you know, that's kind of where we came down to it of, all right, we're going to go ahead and do another, you know, we're going to do this biopsy of your stomach and whatnot, and see what happens. So I had previously done like a breath test and things like that. I've done, you know, CT scans, all of these things. So that's where we came to.
And what symptoms were you experiencing that led to these tests?
I was having, you know, intense fatigue, just real fogginess, mental fogginess, a lot of headaches, a lot of muscle cramping and tendon tightness. You know, just really an underlying, just that feeling of malaise, something's not right. So, you know, there was just quite a bit. If you name a system, I probably had something weird kind of going on with it. A lot was GI, a lot was musculoskeletal, and then there was a lot of not neurological stuff that I saw happening with me. I wasn't also absorbing, vitamins and whatnot correctly in my food. That's the, that just leaves you really, in my experience, feeling unwell. Just like I said, the just not feeling good, just, tired, hard to get out of bed. Really not like hard to get out of bed, but hard to keep going, right? Hard to keep up with that pace that a 27-year-old should. I developed drop foot. Why did that happen? Honestly, we really don't know.
And just for food too.
A lot of intolerances for food.
Yeah, I mean, she went through a lot of different experimental diets, like the Brat diet. It just seemed like her stomach was really bothered quite a bit, and it really affected her every day.
So, I mean, there's one more that a big one that I want to mention. I had quite a bit of gynecological problems, and I was not able to ever carry a pregnancy to term. There was a lot of issues there that couldn't quite be explained. Timing of, my hormone levels never matched up with, and I don't know if that was MCAS or. But that's some of the symptoms, part of what really impacted my day-to-day life. What else did you see, as I really started to change?
You're so tired. You're swelling,
Oh yeah.
just
I mean, you don't see that
swelling.
today. It's still there, but
Up
it
and
was
down,
worse.
up and down with the swelling. It's like, oh, I mean, and the pitting of the swelling. It was, I mean, those were the real physical signs that you could see.
Yeah, I had someone tell me once, I had come in to meet with someone and they were like, "You just look like a completely different person." I was about to just suggest that you go to the hospital. You just looked so different.
And we had been to so many ERs and so many hospitals. We're like,
I
no,
mean,
never.
theirs was, their solution was, let's try a mood stabilizer, and that was not ever effective for me. Yes, do I still take something to help me with my mood? I do. Yeah, admittedly, I do. But after,
Not.
overcoming and or not overcoming, but dealing with, all of this that I do on a day-to-day basis, I think that that's only fair. I've really benefited from talk therapy as well.
But nowhere near to the extent as the amount of pills
And
and
that.
that they wanted her.
Yeah, it
It's just
was
too much.
changing my person for a really weird way, and then I couldn't really, I definitely couldn't explain then what was going on because it wasn't the right approach.
We had to fight for that.
Once we could fight to get off of some of that, we were able to do some of the trial and error stuff to figure out what can make these symptoms better. So that can welcomed back to the functioning world.
How did it make you feel being passed from doctor to doctor and not being believed? I mean, what did that do to your morale?
Well, it's hard to just get real angry. You begin to question yourself. I think of, did I phrase that correctly? Did I phrase that in a way that can be understood? Do I even know how to talk to people anymore? By the time you get through that many people, you're like, then okay, if they're all saying we don't understand, then something's wrong with me, right? Okay, something is wrong with me, but that's not really the part of it. So, it's yeah, it's it, it really is a defeated feeling. You keep trying because you keep wanna, I have a belief that most people try something, most people want to be as good as they can. That's my core belief. Not everyone believes that. But I was at that place and just really echoing that to, the few providers that did believe me that, look, I'm trying, I'm even recording this to the best of my ability, and I'm sorry, something's still not right. I know you don't understand, but I don't either. What else can we do? And it came down to, that biopsy and a doctor sitting me down one day and saying, well, there's research that one of the doctors in this group is doing, and sent your biopsy off for a stain, and such and such and such and such, so we're going to transfer your care here. And so that became the beginning of another journey.
So what happened then?
Again, trial and error with medications, antihistamines, of course the LDN, a trial of Droxia, a trial of Gleevec, there's just several things. Learning how Benadryl can help me, but how not to hopefully have to use that every day. For me, I have to take low dose aspirin as well. So, what happened across those times is just trying to add those pieces in and see what worked, what didn't, and how did you do that? Just recording and taking time, don't start everything all at once, taking a couple weeks. For me, something that was really important is starting with a very low dose of a medication, trying not to change too much of my daily life, but let that medication get in and do, and then just try to look for any changes. Like I said, scientific method, noting the changes. So, just doing that step by step, and kind of, we're still doing that. I think it will be a lifelong journey. I
Oh,
don't.
and having a doctor that really knew more about what was going on was one of the biggest helps that could explain. Okay, so I bet when you feel this, this is reaction. It's like, yeah, that is.
Some of the symptoms I didn't realize
Yeah.
what it was. Like, why does my skin get so red when something brushes up against me? So, like, the urticaria is what they call it.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I mean, my hair's not down, so you can't tell how red it truly is. And then, I'm fair skin, freckles. I just thought that's what it was, right? And I didn't know. Some of these other things of, well, I bend and this way, or I look at things this way, they're like, huh, I wonder if that's, such and such. And there's just been a lot of that, just, the listening, recording, encouraging me to go ahead and here's what's available to you, trial and error. So, for me, quercetin did not work. People say that differently, that incorrectly. What nasal spray might work. Eye drops
Very
have been
true.
a big thing recently. What is happening with my eyes, I don't know. The cetrizine, that works well for me. Some other things didn't, but I only need, a really low dose. So, for instance, I think they said at one point, I think it's changed. They said, well, a therapeutic dose is 20 milligrams of this, but 10 works for me. And when I saw that increase, I was fainting more. So, We're like, well, let's go back down to the 10 and see what happens. Obviously, you don't want to just be dropping. And so that, that worked
Yeah.
because it's dangerous, it's embarrassing, and you can't function like that, right? Like you just can't. So, for me, it's just trying to manage the symptoms, and lifestyle and medication changes
So what
gradually.
what symptoms do you have now?
Now, I still have quite a bit of fatigue. A lot is learning how to deal with that and how to pace throughout the day.
Triggers.
To try to avoid triggers, what you're seeing today in our particular area, the tree pollens are really high. So I can only do so much about that. There's my eyes look a little, you can see there's quite a bit of swelling around them. But
Learning to follow trends really has been big. This time of year, last year, this was high, and I felt like this, and this is high again. Oh, wow, I'm feeling like that again. Learning to avoid and acknowledge certain things have paid off quite well.
yeah, I mean, to the extent that when we traveled, I happened to just go ahead and contact the person at the pollen and mold center and inquired about what was high in that area. And I was, okay, that explains why I feel, maybe why I feel like this. And then, there's different methods in which, whether it be a nasal rinse or a different medication that I can try to, but those actual symptoms. Hoarseness of my throat, brain fog, headaches, the vision changes, swelling, with a couple of the things, it wasn't just my muscles that were sore. It felt like crushing pain. So I guess that was bone pain. I don't know. It felt like crushing. With my left foot, the foot drop, as I continued with, some of the medication therapies and just physical therapies, I have gotten better with that. I don't always need my cane to walk with, which, when you're 27 and you get a cane to walk with, people are like, what the heck? Well, I don't know. My leg doesn't follow directions is what I used to say. And it kind of explains it because I don't know. It just won't. It doesn't lift up, So that's what it feels like. I remember my mother saying, she's passed, but she had said it's really difficult to watch your child not be able to walk right again. She's like just dragging her leg along. And well, yeah, I was, but I was trying. I mean, so I'm sure that that was, that's why I wanted my husband here today to the symptoms that I have every day, I try to manage them, and it's been some time now that I may not even realize that that's something that I'm feeling and I'm managing. And oh, well, you're turning this way, or you're moving, whatnot. So I don't know what other symptoms are do I experience that maybe I haven't mentioned.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all
With my gastric symptoms, it was,
oh, yeah.
a switch between being fairly regular to having a loose stool or being really constipated. It was not, it was just really inconsistent. And then I found a medication to help that, but having really tight, twisting type pain in my stomach. And they're like, well, we think this medication is probably not the right one for you. So we're gonna back off that. Oh, well, I didn't know that's what I just thought it was another symptom. So it
Yeah.
did work. So we do every other day as needed for that particular medication. It's, those high histamine foods. There's an app, looks like a strawberry on my phone. Trying to avoid that the best I can. There's certain things I avoid completely, but I want to live while I'm here. And you just can't avoid everything. For me, I'm not at the point where I'm not surviving. I'm definitely don't do as much as I would like to do. I don't currently hold a full-time job. I have a hard time gaining employment with walking with a cane and whatnot. They think that I maybe am otherwise impaired. That's very frustrating, and that leads into the symptoms, the anxiety, some sadness, and also it doesn't help when you're not working and your brain's not engaging, and I'm sure it's not helping the cognition. So just trying to stay active the best I can. I know from what I've heard from other patients who have MCAS or MCAD, because the doctor said mine was aggressive systemic mast cell disease. That's what he called it when we did the paperwork for the Gleevec prescription. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess that's what it is. So, there's also that communication piece with your doctor. The portals that we have now, at least in the US, I think that's pretty much worldwide, but their first world, that we
Patient.
have to communicate with. You can't go to your doctor every time. You need to be able to communicate and do so in a way that's like a memo form. This is what I'm experiencing. This is what I did differently, or that I have no idea what I did differently. And this is when it started. How long? What's the intensity? And how often? There's just a lot that goes into it. So managing the symptoms, if you remember the scientific method that maybe you were lucky enough to learn in school, use it on yourself. Know that you know your body probably the best. It might not make sense. It might not be the same as someone else, but keep trying. Keep reaching, keep trying.
Well, thank you, Michelle and Matt, for talking to me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
I'm Dr. Leonard Weinstock, a guy who's been prescribing LDN since 2005, and I've seen the wonders, and I keep on seeing them, especially in hard-to-diagnose conditions. They're not that hard to do, but once you know about mast cell activation syndrome, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, and Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, you'll find that 17% of your friends or relatives have one or more of these conditions, and you can help them. We're making a documentary to wake up the medical community, to educate the population, but we need funding. So please fund whatever you can afford, no matter how little, www.mcasfund.com. That's mcasfund.com.
Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, Linda, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.